and it was full of milk. We had the snowstorm that came 10 to 15 feet. There was no way the milk truck could come and pick up the milk. The cows were crying. The cows were sick because they had to be milked. The only thing my father could do is pour out the 250 gallons of milk, which really hurt our budget because farmers don't make much money. We have plenty of food, plenty of meat, and that just hurt our budget. When I was five, I had a little sister, and there's nothing better than having a little sister when you're living on the farm and there's no other kids around. So I was like a little mother to her because my mother was always sick. She always had terrific migraines. She had been abused as a young girl when she was 14, and she had a rough life. The next phase of my life, when I was 21, my precious little sister committed suicide. And at that time, it really, the Lord had called her. She was ready to go. And our family understands suicide because she did it in our barn, and I can't tell you how many times I went by the barn, but I never found her. But John 14 gave us comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. And we know we will come. We will be able to see our family members, but they won't be able to come back to us. In the 50s, we sold our dairy business, and let's see, we sold our historic house and 7 acres to Mount Hebron Presbyterian Church. And that was wonderful because my father and mother were charter members, and I was charter members. And so my father became active in church for the first time in ever. Then my father and his two brothers started building houses in the development. After that, I got married, had a wonderful little son, 11 pounds, 7 ounces. And we had a wonderful relationship. After 15 years of marriage, I got divorced. In 84, nobody got divorced in my area. Nobody. My church didn't understand why I was getting a divorce, you know. Divorce is like a death. Your mate is happy, and you're left alone to raise a 9-year-old boy on your own with $50 a week and no education. I found a government thing that they had for displaced women, and I signed up for it, and I got my college education. So, I mean, we just didn't have a lot of money years ago. We really did not. I had to sell my house after I got married and move in with my parents. And I would never have done it if I knew my father was a hidden alcoholic. But we got that problem solved after a while. Philippians 4:13 always comes to my mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you have to put your trust in the Lord, and he will direct all our paths. And he has done that all my life. After I finished college, I worked full-time many years in the insurance business. I always hated office work. I wanted to be like a home economics teacher. You know, growing up in the farm, in 4-H and youth fellowship and everything, you want to do something else. But since my church really didn't accept me, I joined Chapelgate. Well, that was a good time. Peg McCants and I, we didn't have anything, we didn't have any missions for anybody our age, 40 and up, that were single. And we started Singles Link, and that lasted about 3 years. We had about 30 members, and we had them from all different churches. We had Bible studies once a month. We'd go on trips. We'd have house parties. And that was fun until a lot of the couples got married, and Peg sold her house, and everything kind of changed. I had a little word processing business after college, and I did this resume for this one girl, and I think this started all my life over again. When I met Linda, she had a 5-month Down syndrome baby and a 2-year-old little girl. Her husband was Jewish, and he had beaten her up, and she was living in a shelter in Colombia. And we got to be friends because I knew how to handle things like that. And my son and I were the only ones allowed to go back in her house and get her things so she could go back to New Mexico. And she's become a lifelong friend. She has a business for nonprofits to help battered women. And now she's running for mayor of Hatch, New Mexico. Yeah. my son graduated from college and started his landscaping business. I came home from work one day, and he went upstairs and changed my clothes and looked in his room, and everything was gone. And I said, "What happened?" He wasn't there. Unbeknownst to me, my parents had bought him a house of 10 acres down the road, and they were fixing it up for about 6 months. And I had no idea, even though I saw my parents every day. They were sneaky. They did it for me. That's what she said. We did it for you. Oh, that just tore my heart. It took me a long time to really forgive, you know, that they didn't share it with me. I mean, I was their only daughter. So I had an empty house. At Chapelgate, I joined the evangelism explosion after our Singles Link thing drizzled out. And I enjoyed learning the scriptures and going to prospective houses and trying to get new members for Chapelgate. And I remember one member we got, and she's still very active. Family is active with the English as a second language. So that means a lot to me. The Lord still had other plans for me. The deacons at Chapelgate had a need for furnished rooms with cheap housing for missionaries or somebody in the church from these various missions that needed a shelter. So Lene Pettit from the church and Joyce Keller and I each had big homes, and they were furnished. And we opened our homes up to these people. And my first one was Andre. He was a missionary from Morocco that taught French at Chapelgate Academy. Amazing man. He came with one suitcase and one computer, no worldly goods, right out of the mission field, not used to electricity, not used to food, not used to anything. We got him a car from Chapelgate. Somebody donated a car. And when his semester was over, he gave the car back. But do you know he gave every cent that he made back to Chapelgate? Every cent. He didn't spend a cent for himself. naturally, I was hardly charging maybe $200 a month. But then I felt guilty, and I gave him money back, too. You know, I said, you've got to have money to get back. So my home was buzzing again with activities with new roommates. Let's see. I had a nurse from the hospital ship Hope that worked on cleft palates, and she told me all about that mission experience that she's had. I've had cancer patients from Chapelgate, a lot of separated people that, you know, finally got back with their husbands and their wives. I've had a man from Pakistan that was separated from his wife. That was a new experience. Mormon. I've just had just about everything. I had a pregnant pharmacist from Vietnam that stayed with me a couple months, and then she got married, but she was still working in Ellicott City. And when she got pregnant, she said, can I stay with you because I'm working night work? So I think I had 9 months of morning sickness with her until she left. Because she would eat her codfish dinner at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I don't think you should be eating that. She says, but I'm so sick. So she had a little girl. And, I mean, you know, I'm like a mother to her because she didn't have anybody else in the United States but me. So I've had so many unique stories. The next thing I did, we kind of took a break because Joyce Keller died and Lene Pettit got married, and I still had my room. I took the Stevens Ministry course. It was a whole year course and a commitment to walk with a church family to just be with them and not solve their problem, but to work with them in a crisis or something. So the next phase of my life, both of my parents got homebound, so I never did get to do anything with Stephen's ministry. My mother always had nervous breakdowns and panic attacks, mini strokes, and then she was totally blind for 12 years, which was extremely hard. I don't recommend that for anybody. There was a lot of crying. She didn't want to see people. She didn't want to go places. Plus, my father had cancer at the same time at the prostate. We were taking him for treatments. And then he got dementia. It's extremely hard to care for somebody that is blind. They want to go grocery shopping. They knock everything down. They can't cook. They can't walk straight. You know, they just need love and attention. It's all you can do. My mother had these fake coughing fits like she was going to die. But we got used to it. You know, she just like she was choking all the time. But that was one story. So after they died, at home with hospice. I had a young man with HIV living with me temporarily. He was president of the Howard County HIV Society. And he said, can you go with me to a meeting? I thought, oh, gosh, I guess I could go to a meeting. Well, I didn't realize that Howard County has 150 HIV patients just in Ellicott City and Columbia. And there is such a need. At that time, I went, they had a government grant, and they were giving these people a really nice catered dinner once a month at a church. And they brought them by cab, you know, to the dinner. And I got involved in, they had this other thing. I got involved in taking, we would sort groceries at a Columbia Baptist church. And then we would take the bags as a team to the HIV patients in Harrod County and explain to them. And these were normal people, young people, blind people. I mean, it's not all, you know, I mean, they're just normal friends. So I got involved with taking that, and that was really a lifelong experience. That lasted till the government grant gave up. And now I don't know who's taking care of, you know, these people now. But when they'd have their dinner, the public health nurses would answer any of their problems. And their medications were like $900 to $1,200 a month. And every time they had to change their medication, they'd get deathly sick, have to go to the hospital. So, you know, there's really a lot of things close by that need help. Then I took a break and I became a master gardener. I took the course at University of Maryland, and I've been a master gardener for 11 years, which I love. I may be alone, but I'm never lonely. Psalm 39, verse 4 to 5. Show me, O Lord, my life's and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. The big question here is, are we living our lives that way? We never know when it will be our time. Our prayer is to make my life worthy and pleasing to the Lord while I have time on the earth. I hope and pray it is yours.